Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. We're glad you could be with us for a very special edition of our program, NFL Draft Preview Time, with lots of insights on the NFL Draft overall, in particular the Eagles and the Redskins coming up on tonight's program. So let's introduce our special guest to start the program. From left to right, we have Rock Hoffman from WRDV Radio and Football Stories Magazine, the editor of Football Stories Magazine and member of newspaper media group Al Thompson, and of course, senior sports writer for The Morning Call and soon to take over the 8 p.m. time slot on the Fox Cable News Network, Mr. Keith Edwards.
No spin zone. You're not going to be included in the no spin zone on the Gruller Factor.
I thought you weren't even going to show up here at all tonight. That's where I thought you were.
We're already in tense negotiations, that's for sure.
I'm sure. All right.
Pay raise for that spot, I think. A little bit.
No, he makes pretty much good salary here.
Oh, yeah.
Right. A little bit of it.
Yeah. All right. Let's get something out of the way for the NFL draft. I'm going to want to ask you about a lot of different names. I know you all have great insights as far as what the Eagles will do and, you know, who's going where. I want to get something out of the way, though, right off the bat. In the Delaware Valley, people are going crazy over Christian McCaffrey. He's shooting up the charts. You know, a couple months ago, he was, you know, maybe a first round. Now he's moving up. The Eagles are going to get him. In the Lehigh Valley, there's, of course, ties there. A lot of people here are really excited and wanting the Eagles to get Christian McCaffrey. And as a media guy, I would love it, too. But great story. He's a great interview. All these great stories. However, there is no way that he is the best option, realistically, for the Eagles at 14. Al, do you disagree with me on that? There's so many good names that are still available.
Now you see his pictures. He looks like something between an extra from Pleasantville's basketball team or a boy band. But he's a terrific player. He does most of his damage when he was at Stanford in open space. Is he going to be a big question is, can he run between the tackles in the NFL? Is he going to be able to take on a Nnamdi Kanu or somebody like that where it's a totally different level? I have this fear. He was hurt for a lot of 2016. He didn't play in his bowl game, a big bowl game. And that he's going to be one of these guys, maybe worse than Brian Westbrook, who was – people forget how often he was hurt. Mm-hmm. He was hurt a lot. I think this kid is going to go through his entire NFL career kind of coming in and off, on and off of injuries.
I think he's a great complimentary player, but no way do I think he's going to be the right player for the Eagles at 14. Rock and Keith?
I think they're going to take him, though. He's the guy I'm picking, but I don't think that he's the right pick.
Well, that scares me.
I don't like taking running backs in the first round at all, whether it's him, Dalvin Cook, Fournette, any of them, I would stay away from personally. Mm. So, yeah, I wouldn't take him.
Keith, you're not going to let your Lehigh Valley homerism affect you here, right? You cannot pick him, though, really.
I'm leery of anybody from the Pac-12. Remember the last time the Eagles went with a first-round pick from the Pac-12, it didn't work out so good. Now, I know McCaffrey's got great genes. Obviously, Ed.
Great complimentary player.
And he's a nice player, but is he going to be the guy that, is going to be put like 1,000-yard rushing years together? No. I mean, but he's a little bit younger. I think he's a younger, fresher version of what they already have with Darren Sproles.
Yeah, if they were maybe a year or two from now when they've had a couple drafts and maybe signed some free agents and we're a little bit closer, then he might be the piece that puts them over the top.
Yeah.
But not right now.
They have so many other holes right now.
Like you said, a great complimentary player, but not right now.
All right. So we're all in agreement. But, Ali, now you're scaring me because you said the Eagles are going to go after him.
I'm not saying it's the right choice. Yeah, I'm saying that that's Eagles, who I think. If he's there, I think they'll probably grab him.
And you know what?
So they want to load up for Wentz. Yeah. That's all they're doing is they're loading up for Wentz. They want to take Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith. Offensive line, they Chance Womack they brought in. They kept that line stable, re-signing Steve Wisniewski. Alan Barber's back. They're bringing all those guys are coming back. And they didn't let any of them leave. That's great continuity. Mm-hmm. This is all about Wentz. What are we going to do? And remember, this was something that was brought to light from our partner, Brian Baldinger, is that when you look at the Seattle Seahawks, even the Steelers or the Baltimore Ravens, particularly with the Ravens and the Seahawks, they won their Super Bowl when their quarterback was in the first in his rookie contract. Mm-hmm. When now both these franchises are in decline because they pay them now. these $100 million contracts, and there's not enough money to keep all these great pieces that helped them win a Super Bowl. So the Eagles want to win that Super Bowl while Carson Wentz is still in his rookie contract. So they're loading up for him. They want to make that run in the next 3 years to win it, because they're going to have to pay him. If he's who they think he's going to be, he's going to get this mega contract, and he's going to basically, what's happening in, has always been happening in New Orleans, Drew Brees gets all the money, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to get in there, you get that Super Bowl in the rookie contract, and then you see where you go from there.
I mean, the Colts are struggling with that now with Luck, and they haven't won a Super Bowl. Yeah.
And it scares me now, too, because McCaffrey's stock is on the rise so much. People I heard on the national scale were saying, if you want McCaffrey, you may have to trade up into the top 10 to get him. Because he's now not going – I guess his combine was so great that he's not working out for any individual players, which is a risk. But it says to me that, you know, his stock was so high by doing that, he doesn't want to do anything that would hamper that combine. So what does he have to hide then by not going out and auditioning?
Well, I think if he's already got he's got some kind of a lot of really good stuff on tape. He had an outstanding college career. 2015, a lot of people thought he was the best player in college football. Yeah. 2016, not so much because he was fighting injuries. And I think that's going to be his Achilles heel as a pro. Mm-hmm. Is he really going to be? Is he durable enough to last 16 games plus preseason? And be effective with all the hits he's going to be taking.
And the other thing with Stanford this year, they had a change. Their quarterback graduated, so they had a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he wasn't enough to carry that team like the year before in 15 when he had a great year. And I'm sure the Iowa still is scared of him. He just ran over them in the Rose Bowl. And that's the other thing. I mean, as the college editor for Football Stories, the fact that he skipped his bowl game kind of bothers me, because I don't want to see that trend begin. And I mean, like you said, he could be a top 10 pick. And next year, guy says, well, if I could skip my bowl game and be a top 10
pick. He started it. I mean, he started the trend. That's going to be very detrimental, I think, to college
football. And then you go and see, you know, the tight end from Michigan, Jake Butt, tears his knee up in the bowl game. So now it just puts added pressure on a guy that, you know, to skip his bowl game. And I just, you know, walk out on your team like that, that bothers me a little bit.
All right, the guy I really like, I don't know if he's going to be available at 14, but I wanted to get everyone's thoughts on that. Reuben Foster out of Alabama, middle linebacker. They don't need a middle linebacker right now, per se, but I think he does a lot of things. If you get an anchor back there, you talked about trying to win now. I think he's going to be a really core, really special player out of the middle of that defense for several years in a row. What are your thoughts on him, and would he be available at 14?
I think the Eagles, one of the things they're missing on defense is a dynamic front seven playmaker, and he could be that guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, I was talking to Brian Baldinger before the show, and he would encourage the Eagles to trade up to get him. He's really high on Reuben Foster, that he might be the best player or most impactful player, you know, in the first half of the draft. That he's that.
Well, what might it ready take for to the move pros? Because they do have other roles. I know they have.
You
to
know,
address.
A lot of them have him going. I had him going originally to the Cardinals at 13. So, but these things are, these things are
not worth the paper they're printed on.
Exactly.
Because I crumbled my paper up last week.
Does anybody ever go back and look at the mock drafts?
It's a wonderful industry.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun. And that's the thing about the draft. I mean, everybody's going to say, whoever the Eagles pick, or Washington or whoever, oh, that was a great pick. And 3 years from now, if the guy stinks, like, maybe it wasn't a great pick.
I like the people that have 30 different versions of their mock draft. So when one comes close, they can say,
That's what I do with my NCAA pool, by the way.
Right. You only have one NCAA pool. You can only have one mock draft. That's not fair.
All right,
Is this your second version?
I just made three changes. Okay.
It's a second version then.
I'm a fraud. I admit it. it's all garbage.
By the way, speaking of that, I want to get the cover of your magazine and tell us who you're featured in this month, because I know Football Stories Magazine is doing tremendously well. It's spun off. You have your own radio show, and things are really doing well, thanks to the two of you guys.
Yeah, it's really a blessing that now, after all these years of working on it, we are now with Newspaper Media Group, one of the largest publishing companies on the East Coast. They have 40 publications. We joined that family. Brian Baldinger and I are still have ownership in it with that publishing company. We're also on with Beasley Media on Wednesdays down in Philly, the 610 Sports, as you can see on the cover. We're going to have tons of coverage on what were you going to expect in year two from these guys? And when you look at, Brian has a great column that I edited today, is that it's about Wentz and Peterson and their parallels with Andy Reid and Donovan McNabb. Mm-hmm. It's startling in a lot of ways. And so,
is that a good sign? Is that good?
Well, they went to five NFC titles, and just by luck.
But they didn't win the Super Bowl.
They didn't win the Super Bowl. So yeah,
that's the catch.
Can you, real quick, can you get that magazine at area Wawa's and Turkey Hills and so forth? And also, is there an address that people can, you know, or a phone number to call for people to get subscribed?
Well, you can catch
me
you can communicate with us on our Facebook page, Football Stories Magazine, or Al Thompson Football Stories. You can just instant message me there. We're in about 150 Super Wawa's in three states. We're at the Q-Mart up here. In Quakertown.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all over the place.
That looks like a great publication. You should have brought me a couple of copies.
We have some for you.
He got free tickets the last couple of weeks to the local place, so now he wants some free magazines.
Well, they're free anyway. So.
All right, let's roll out the trivia question before we continue the NFL draft conversation and have our first feature of the evening. We got an easy one this week. I think it's an easy one, but let's go back 10 years. Speaking of NFL drafts and predictions, and you don't really know who's going to pan out until much later. 10 years ago, who was the number one overall draft pick in the 2007 NFL draft? Who went number one overall, the guy that everyone was clamoring for 10 years ago, almost to the day? And, of course, here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
And this week's featured team on the RCN TV website also happens to be the number one softball team in the region. Here's a brief clip of our interview with the Parkland softball team, with more available on the RCN TV website.
I think as a team, our main kind of goal is to always get better, and there's always room for improvement, and the coaches do a really good job like instilling that. If I go up to bat and I don't have a great at bat, I know anyone from the team will come up behind me and get a hit.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Our special in-studio guest, Rock Hoffman from WRTV Radio and Football Stories Magazine. Al Thompson, the editor of Football Stories, part of the newspaper media group. Senior sports writer, Keith Groller. I almost said, soon host that the other cable.
Let's keep it hush-hush for a while.
You're moving
Let's
up, aren't
hush,
you? I thought you'd get sick of me sooner or later. Move on. A couple other names I wanted to ask you guys about. One of them, too, Rock, I'll start with you and go back to our alma mater at Temple University. Some great football player. Don't roll your eyes, Keith. Come on here. He could go in the top 10.
Four guys
a former
in the combine this year. Hassan Reddick could go in the top 10.
That's what I want to ask you about.
I wasn't rolling my eyes. I think they did a nice job there. Yeah. The guy that left now. The guy that's at
Matt Rhule.
Yeah. He's a really energetic guy. I interviewed him once and did a fantastic job. But I'm just worried it's going to come back down to a certain level. I hope not. I think Temple creating some college football interest in the city of Philadelphia would be kind of cool, the way basketball is so popular.
No question. And Rock can talk about the new coach.
Jeff Collins. I think
he's a real character.
Can keep it running. I think he will keep the ball rolling there at Temple. And he's another energetic guy, and the players really love him. And he's so I think they'll do all right. I think they you know, they didn't get a Matt Rhule clone, but they got a guy that is a lot like
good.
Him. So I think they'll do well.
And Riddick, who had an outstanding career at Temple as an inside linebacker, I see some mock drafts he can go as high as 9 or 10. So I guess, you know, people in Philadelphia are very proud of him. Another player that has been drafted, a continuing trend now we're seeing Temple players getting drafted.
Yeah, and if he goes in the first round, he'll be the first guy, first Temple Owl drafted in the first round since the Jets took Muhammad Wilkerson in the 2011 draft, like the 28th overall pick. So, yeah, it'll be great for Temple if he goes that high. And kind of the folly of all of this, of recruiting and of the draft, is that he's a former walk-on. Yeah. So nobody wanted him, and now he's going to be a top 20 pick to be conservative about it. So, you know, we sit here and talk about this, and we go through everything and watch film and everything, and it's still kind of, a crapshoot.
Yeah. Al, I'm still hoping you're wrong and that the Eagles do not go after Christian McCaffrey, but if they do not, or if they even trade down, there's a couple other players I think that could be of interest to them. A couple of them at cornerback, like Tre'Varius White out of LSU, Quincy Wilson out of Florida,
Gary Unconley,
Lattimore out of Ohio State. Or do you think they go for a pass rusher or someone off the edge like a Derek Barnett out of Tennessee?
Well, I was at the press conference, his get-together today, between the new bromance, Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman. They are. You had to watch it. People were remarking about it.
I had a question
about it.
You guys are
like giddying with each other. You know, you're making these little remarks to each other during the press conference. And you know, that's great for Eagles fans that these guys are getting along after all this really immature, dumb infighting that allegedly went on within the Eagles personnel department. Yeah. And
that's only until they draft the next Nelson Aguilar. Then the honeymoon is over.
I mean, they're on darts at each other, yeah. So there'll be leaks coming out of there. Like now there's no leaks. You can't get anything out of that complex, nothing. You get no information at all. So anybody who's telling they got anything from the Eagles, it's just not true. Yesterday shows chemistry.
Yeah. Yesterday there was a report that Joe Mixon, there's no chance they're going to get him. And then today was, no, don't rule him out. They no, still might take a flyer.
That's interesting. I'll talk about that. But Karen Conley, I think they're going to they should go defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think someone's going to take I think that they're not going to have a chance to take Christian McCaffrey because I think he's going to be gone. Yeah. But what was interesting today was people are all asking about who is going to take Joe Mixon out of Oklahoma, tremendously gifted athlete. Yeah. But he has all this baggage, this terrible film of him committing violence against a girl while at school. It's like people are thinking, like, which news cycle are we going to pick him in? Is it going to be Thursday? Are we going to go through that? Are we going to go through Friday's news cycle? Or are we going to go through Saturday's news cycle? Because no matter who picks them, you're going to get a news cycle on it. You're going to get, and so the later you pick them, the less it's going to hurt, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, this kid picked a terrific agent in Peter Schaefer, and that seemed to really, when you saw when that question was asked of him about, someone brought up Peter Schaefer as his agent. What did that do? Because this guy Schaefer has a tremendous relationship with the Eagles. Mm-hmm. They respect him. When he calls, they pick up the phone. When he wants a deal, they deal with him. And for Mixon to take him, to use him, and for Schaefer to take him, shows something that he must think this kid is okay. He just made some mistakes, and it's over with. But the Eagles sounded like we're not ruling this out at all. They already have. They apparently must have, the green light from Lori. That
they do, so they might take a flyer at Mixon.
I think it's, you know, if he lasted it to the third round or whatever, I think he's going to be an Eagle. Yeah, sure.
Oh. I think the NFL.
They can survive Michael Vick. They can survive this kid.
I think the NFL didn't do him any favors because they banned him because of his off the field problems from the combine. And to me, that's the wrong thing to do because that is one of the most stressful job interviews you could have, having 32 NFL teams ask you the same questions over and over again. Yep. You know, you go from the Eagles to the Browns to the Ravens or whatever, and they're asking you the same questions. And if you can get through that in a day and not snap, that shows me something.
Yep.
But him not being invited.
Well, they just wanted to give the appearance that they were out protecting, because of some bad decisions the NFL has made in the past. Now they want to go compensate the other way.
I understand that. But to me, you want to get this is a guy you need to know more about, not less.
Yeah.
Or do you think he's going to go before the third round? Do you think he's going to be there in the third round?
I think once. I don't think he's going to go in the first round because nobody wants that news cycle.
Right.
But if he's, I think you're right. He's probably, you know, someone's going to take.
I think he's definitely at least a high second round talent. You know, if he drops into the third round, it would be purely because of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
He's
so
off the field.
I think the Eagles are you know, they're in a huge city here. Like I said,
he survived the Vic thing pretty well, but that was Andy Reid. I thought taking, you know, he really because he had his own family
Mike
problems.
Vic. And Mike Vick. Yeah. That was brought up today about Vick. They said, the situation was here. You had strong coaching. You had a strong owner. You had a passionate following that are going to get mad at you for a while, but they're going to come back. But they said the reason why it worked was because of Vick, because of all the things he did with the Humane Society, just the way he was, the way he engaged people.
He turned his own life around.
He turned his life around completely. And he was a righteous man. I mean, I talked to him a couple of times. That was the first year he was here, McNabb was still playing. Mm-hmm. And you could talk to him. You could actually, you know, have conversations with him on the side. You get to know him a little bit. And, you know, he was pretty impressive.
Right. Let's try to squeeze in a phone caller before we wrap up this segment. Harry from Allentown. Welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, Harry. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I believe you want to take a shot at our trivia question.
Yeah. Was it Jamarcus Russell?
You got it. 10 years ago, Jamarcus Russell was the hot commodity. He was everyone's number one guy. And 3 years later, he was out of football. Did you look that up or you remembered that, Harry?
I still remember. I looked up just to double check it.
Okay. We appreciate your honesty.
All righty.
All right. Any NFL draft predictions or questions you have? Are we good?
Nah, I know one of your guys on the panel, though. I went to high school with Keith.
Oh, okay.
Did I see you last night?
Yeah. That's the Iron Pigs.
All right.
Do you have some good Keith Groller stories?
I'm going to New York. I'm going to the Factor.
I'll get your phone number after the show. We'll talk.
All right. I got a couple for you.
Good to hear from you, Harry.
Any pictures?
All right, thank you.
Oh, I can't wait for next week's show now. Mm-hmm. All right. Before we head to break, with a new coach at the helm, the Penn Argyle baseball team has been among the best teams so far in the Colonial League. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler talked with members of the Green Knights after recording a win this week over Salisbury.
We knew Salisbury was going to be a tough team, and we just came in today. We were a little flat at first, and we were down 6 runs, 6-0, and then scored a couple, and it kind of got us fired up.
Our season's been going pretty good. We had a little rough spots. We're 5-3 right now, but I believe that our team is just going to keep fighting and keep winning.
We have 5 wins right now in the year, and all 5 of those games have been in the 7th inning or the one game against Palisades that we won. We came back in extra innings in the top of the 8th inning.
We lost a few games that we just, I just feel like our heads weren't really in the game as much as they should have been. And I mean, we have a kind of inexperienced team this year. We have a lot of guys that it's their first year on varsity.
We're going to win as many games as we try our hearts out like we usually do. I have so much faith in my teammates, and they have my back, and I have theirs.
If you follow the league like we do, you know, it's up and down. The good teams are beating the good teams. The lower tier teams are battling. It's all over the place.
It's tough. They're tough teams. I know Notre Dame Green Pond's a tough team. Saugus Valley's a tough team. Just about everyone.
We'll take it day by day, and we're going to go after every game like it's a championship baseball game.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call. Al Thompson and Rock Hoffman are special guests talking NFL football. We'll get back to the Eagles conversation in just a moment with some Redskins talk coming up in a little bit. But right now, it is Keith's favorite part of the program. It's called Groller's Gremlings, where he sounds off and talks about anything on his sports mind. Keith?
Actually, the Washington segment's always my favorite, Chris. I can't wait for that every week.
I'm glad you approve.
Real quick, I wanted to mention just a couple of items here. We're thrilled that the NCAA ice hockey regionals are coming here for the next 2 years to the PPL Center. Great move by the PPL Center. Great move by Penn State to have it here. That's terrific. We need more events at the PPL Center. Certainly, we want the District 11 basketball back there. We want the wrestling to get there. But that's a good event to have, and I think that's going to draw well from people across the country and of course, the great hockey fans we have here in the Lehigh Valley. Also, speaking of lacrosse and hockey and things of that nature, special event coming up a week from tonight. We encourage you to watch our show and then get out there to Southern Lehigh to see a benefit lacrosse match between the past two District 11 champions, Emmaus and Southern Lehigh. There's great causes involved. One is pancreatic cancer and the fight against pancreatic cancer. Get out there, support that event. Also want to commend the AP and all the voters who really represented the Lehigh Valley well with District 11 basketball. Sam Maiorio leading the way on the boys' side. 6A first team. We don't get first teamers very often around here. Sam, congratulations to you on the boys' side, and on the girls' side, Nila Luma from state champion Bethlehem Catholic. And finally, we're talking about NFL. We're talking about Joe Mixon. We're talking about people who make mistakes. Terrible tragedy, the Aaron Hernandez situation. And I tell kids all the time, be careful who you hang around with. You know, this guy made some mistakes, couldn't escape those mistakes, and really, I try to encourage kids, high school kids all the time, be careful. The decisions you make, even at 15, 16, certainly 18 years old, could impact your entire life. Be careful who you hang around with. Don't let other people drag you down the way they let him drag. Now, he's got to take responsibility. He took it to the grave. But don't make those kind of mistakes. Be wise as early as you possibly can be. Everybody's going to make mistakes in life. But don't let people around you drag you down.
All right, and one quick programming note, too. Our Sports Talk cameras were out at track and field, tri-meet. We have some video of that. We're going to save it till next week to make sure we get some more time on with these guys and also so we don't cut those interviews short. So people following the Colonial League track, we'll have that story on for you next week to give those kids some more time so we can hear as many interviews as we can. Al, you brought up the love affair between Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman. They seem like the best of friends.
It was remarkable today.
They're getting along. It's kumbaya. They work well together. What happens draft night? Howie wants a defensive end. Put in whatever positions you want. Howie wants a defensive end. Joe Douglas wants Christian McCaffrey. Who wins out? Who wins that battle ultimately?
That they will tell you, and they've told us that. That is long already decided. That there's a almost like a like not a Rolodex, but there's a running list of their top 14 players that they want. They said that today. They've already got them prioritized. They've done all that arguing. It's already out of the way, and they just simply go by who's picked first. Then the automatically changes their list. Mm-hmm. Who's picked second automatically adjusts their list all the way down to it's their turn. They're going to be getting phone calls from different people, maybe who want to trade up or trade down or whatever, but they have already argued all that out. That's what they tell us. Yeah. There is no seat of your pants type situation.
We're not going to trade down and get Marcus Smith again.
Yeah, there's no Marcus Smith situations according to the way we've been told they have it planned out.
What do you think of Joe Douglas? He's a newcomer in the city here. What do you think of him? Does he give you a sense of confidence that he's going to – because there's a lot of concern about Howie Roseman, but do you think Joe Douglas is going to be the guy that – level-headed and going to make some good decisions?
I think he played the game. He obviously, you see him, you can tell he played. And I think that he has brought an air of confidence. He's won two Super Bowls. And he picked the personnel in a lot of cases. He was part of the process of picking the personnel to win two Super Bowls. So
it's a good track record.
It's a great track record. He has a knack for it from day one. They thought it was a coup to get him. He was the one who probably got the McCory Smith joke. Kernaghan, the kid they got from Baltimore, basically stole him, and that was because of him. He was on the last year of his contract. They got him here for basically a bag of hammers, and he's a terrific player. And it couldn't come at a better time because Bo Allen tore his pec muscle, and we don't know when he's coming back. So that was a gift from heaven. Mm-hmm. That they were able to pull this move off. They say it was they picked him up after Bo Allen was hurt. It wasn't done before, but we don't know. But one thing he has done, he has gotten that place to quiet down. There are no leaks. There's no mm-hmm. anything out of there. Mm-hmm. And so he has a presence about him that I think has been contagious in that personnel.
How strong is Doug Peterson's voice in this whole thing?
I think Doug Peterson has accepted his role. He's the coach. Mm-hmm. There, he's accepted the fact that he's going to be handed a team to coach. He does have input. Of course he does. Mm-hmm. But he's there to coach. He's not personnel. And he, when he took the job, that's something that he agreed to. They all seem to have this mutual respect for each other. You don't have a Chip Kelly who's kind of one of these guys who we see them all at work where they kind of instigate everything. And he was this kind of guy. They don't have that element in the building anymore. And they just seem to have a mutual respect for each other. And it's showing. It really has. The offseason moves were really phenomenal. And, right. and Rock, what do the Eagles do every year?
They win the offseason. They're the Super Bowl champions.
They win it every year.
The Super Bowl champions of August. But the thing about
they got us all energized. And what happens? It happens every year. But go ahead.
Sorry, eight.
Well, he comes from Baltimore. Ozzie Newsome was a tight end, he was a tight end, but he was the GM down there. And I heard Brian Billick talking about this. The way he ran things, he gave everybody of their voice, so everybody had a chance to be heard. And you know, they might not follow that what you say, but you at least had your chance to say something. Not, I'm sure what you know. I mean, how he was banished to the janitor's closet, basically, when Chip was here. So I don't think if they didn't listen to him. So now, you know, you wonder if that will follow and they will have everybody who had their say. And then I guess Howie will make the decision.
I want to get your guys' take on, I just was looking today, CBS Sports, I have my fantasy team on there, so I go to CBSSports.com. They had a ranking about the 32 head coaches. I was stunned that Peterson was 26th. I thought he did a much better job personally. I know that, maybe it was false. September was a bit of a false dream there, but I didn't think he did. I mean, he made some mistakes, obviously, but 26th?
Too many fourth down calls.
He really hasn't done anything. He's won 7 games his rookie year, but he has been in the league a long time. He's been a coordinator. Right. It's not like he was Chip Kelly, walked in and won 10 games in the NFC. He's made the playoffs. So
I just thought that was a little low. I just thought that was low because especially since the last four, 28 through 32, were the rookie coaches, including the guy that I'm a Rams fan and we hire a 31-year-old kid.
You can tell what when you we're not going to talk about politics. But you look at politics, you can look at the poll and you don't even have to look at it before you know how they're going to have people rank.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So it may just be the poll.
Yeah, it could be the guy doing the poll.
Exactly.
In this case,
so
Pete Prisco. I don't know if he's got an issue with Peterson.
But he hasn't done anything as a head coach.
I thought he did
I don't know how much higher you could rank him at this point.
Well, there are some guys I didn't think deserved the...
He was last at the beginning of last year.
Well, okay.
Dead last.
Okay. That shows what they thought of him coming in. So I guess it's a gradual climb.
He's got to prove time management, too, to move up. He's got to do something. We have less than a minute left, but, Rock, you do a great job with the college coverage, too. Any other names later in the draft we should keep an eye on, maybe a diamond in the rough that the Eagles or someone else pulls?
Well, I looked at running backs, and like I said, I like to take them later. But the kid out of Pittsburgh, the running back, James Conner, who had a great 2014 and then – had an MCL injury and then Hodgkin's lymphoma. So he battled back from that to come back and play last year and started off slowly, but was getting stronger as the year wore on. So I think he might be a guy that would be a dark horse kind of guy that somebody might take in a sixth round and, could be the next Terrell Davis.
Yeah. He helped to upset Clemson, right? Didn't Pittsburgh upset Clemson this year? Wasn't he part of that? Pitt upset Clemson.
Yeah.
And but he's an incredible story.
He had a good game against Penn State, didn't he?
Pardon me?
Connor, didn't he have a good game against Penn State?
Yeah, he's a good player. Obviously, I like Deontre Foreman is my sleeper, who I've already switched twice.
Thanks so much for your time. Continued success with Football Stories, and enjoy the draft next week.
Thanks.
All right, Al Thompson and Rock Hoffman joining us. We'll have more NFL draft talk in a moment. But as we head to break, the Liberty baseball team has been one of the hottest teams once again this spring. Sports Talk videographer Mike Kingsley caught up with Hurricanes after a non-conference win this past week.
Hazleton's a great team. Came out here, had to play hard, knew we were facing a good pitcher. Feels great. Mikey threw a great game. We all came together, came back, hit the ball, had base runners when we needed it, did the key plays, getting the bunts down. All around great game.
Well, the kids never quit. We got down 4-0, and the kids battled, and that's what we've been doing all year, and we slowly worked ourselves back, tied the game, and won it in the last inning.
This year, it's been a great year so far. I mean, we're all coming out with the same goal. We're all working hard in practice, working hard in the classroom, so it's been fun. and we're just going to keep on riding, having fun, and enjoying the year.
As you saw today, anybody we call on is ready, and the chemistry of the kids is great. They're very unselfish kids. They're here to win, and you know, a lot of people contributed today. So people off the bench, people in the starting lineup, people down in the lineup, people in the beginning of the lineup. So it was a good effort all in all, and it was a good win today.
Coach Pitt pulled me aside and said if I had a chance to try to steal home. I saw the ball kick out in front, so I knew I had a chance and went in. I guess I had it. We battled. I mean, for me, I struggled a little bit, and I just got back out there and threw. I mean, Uni saved my butt a few times, so we had some great plays out there. But otherwise, we battled. I mean, that's how it's been all year, just a big battle. We come back from behind and never get down on ourselves. So
it's a great coaching staff this year. We've been playing together. All of us have been playing together since Little League. Our team chemistry is great this year. We're all playing together, working together, have each other's backs. We're just working out really well.
We gotta know the fundamentals, and we have to know how to bunt, and we have to know how to run, and all the little things in order to win against all the teams.
This season, I'm just looking forward to win. District champs is always the big thing on our mind. We have a great team. Team chemistry is high, so hopefully we can do it.
We're just really pumped for this year and can't wait to keep grinding. So one big grind for everyone.
Welcome back to Sports Talk and our special NFL Draft Preview. We're very pleased to be joined this segment by Redskins insider Ben Standig from Breaking Burgundy and BreakingBurgundy.com. Ben, thanks so much for joining us during this busy time. We appreciate you joining us.
Hey, no problem. Happy to be here.
Glad you could spare some time. I know you're doing double duty with the Wizards. I might ask you a Wizards prediction later if we have time. But NFL Draft, first and foremost. First of all, for the Redskins, they had a major shakeup in the front office last month, firing the general manager. Not a whole lot of talk about that in the last couple weeks, all the attention on the draft. Have you heard any news about the general manager position, and has that vacancy affected their preparation for the draft in any way?
It's sort of odd how things were so incredibly loud and volatile there for a bit, a very weird situation to say the least, mm-hmm. and how things have gone very quiet now. Basically Scott McLuhan is out and they just kind of moved on, it seems.
Yeah.
A lot of the guys who, you know, starting with team president Bruce Allen, who essentially was the GM before McLuhan got there, and a lot of the people in the front office, you know, were there before McLuhan, and it just, you know, seems like they're just going about their business and you know, figuring out what they're doing. They haven't formally named anybody else the GM, so we don't know technically who is making, you know, if there's anybody in there, you know, with more authority. Bruce Allen has said that they'll come up with a board, and that board will make the final decision, you know, when it comes down to the pick. So, I can't say business as usual because it's been such a weird offseason,
yeah.
But to some degree, since they made the move to move on from McLuhan, it seems like things have been fairly calm.
At least for the Redskins standards.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bruce Allen, you mentioned him there. They're referring to the big board and the age-old question, do you take the best available player versus a position of need? I know Bruce Allen a few weeks ago was quoted as saying, we are absolutely going to take the best available player regardless of our needs. Is that a smokescreen at all? Do you get any indication which way they might go in the draft? Would they go after a position of need, or do you think they would truly go after the best available player?
Well, you know, I always like to view it as you should take the best player available at a position of need.
Mm-hmm.
The thing with the Redskins is I can make an argument they need everything, which isn't to say that they're a bad team. It's to say that I can just point to almost every position on the team outside of maybe tackle and say that I guess quarterback if they get Kirk Cousins done with a long-term deal and say that they could justify taking literally everything. Which is why I think they're sort of one of the harder teams to do in my mock drafts. The position they need the most is defensive line. I don't think there's any question about that. But this is a particularly bad draft for stud defensive linemen picking where they are around 17, and therefore, you know, I could see them going in tons of other directions, but that's in part because I could justify lots of need areas for them. That, you know, if they want best available, there will be a guy at probably a lot of positions that will be deemed best available that can help them.
Yeah. On your website, there was one of the latest rumors, anyway, about Kirk Cousins, that he was going to be traded to the 49ers. I think some of the national media have picked up on that in the last couple of days, and you know, those rumors are now swirling on a national level that Kirk Cousins could be traded before the draft. Have you heard any more rumors about that, or any indication if Kirk Cousins would be moved before or even after the draft?
Well, I mean, the Redskins have maintained they're not looking to make a trade, and Kirk Cousins is saying, "Hey, you know what? They've signed me to, or you know, I've signed the franchise tag. I'm here. That's fine with me. Personally, I think it would be crazy to keep Kirk Cousins if they don't get him signed to a long-term contract by the time the draft starts. Because the reality is, yes, they could in theory give him another franchise tag again next year, but depending on the situation, it'll cost them either like $28 to $32 million, and that would be way too much money for a starting quarterback who, arguably even if it was, say, Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, let alone Kirk Cousins. And therefore, he could end up walking for essentially nothing. And look, if the Redskins were a team that was on the cusp of making the Super Bowl, I might say, the heck with it. Go for it and see what happens. But, you know, if we're being realistic, that's not where they're at. They, you know, like I said, they're not a bad team. They almost made the playoffs for the second year in a row. They could make it next year. But they don't really look like a team that's contending for it all. So I don't get why you would keep Cousins if you kind of think he's going to walk after next year for essentially nothing. You know, there are teams who are going to want Kirk Cousins. Now, obviously, you've got to find the right compensation, and teams have to agree to terms with Cousins and all that. But the stance of we're not going to trade him, I don't get that stance if you don't get him into a long-term deal.
One of those areas of needs, or one of the more glaring areas of needs, I would think would be the safety position. And I guess if you listen to enough national pundits out there looking at the draft, you'll hear just about everything. But one of the things I've heard more recently a couple times now is that this could be the best draft ever in terms of safeties available. Do you hear any names that the Redskins are particularly interested in or might go after if they're available in the first round?
So it's interesting. I mean, you're right. This does seem to be a pretty deep class for safeties, and the Redskins have for years needed safety help. Interestingly enough, though, I mean, they go out and sign DJ Swearinger as a free agent, and, you know, not saying he's a pro bowler, but he's probably a better safety, one of the better safeties that we'll have had now in several years, and they're moving Sua Cravens to safety this year after he kind of spent last year as his hybrid linebacker. Now, that doesn't mean that you're set at safety and you shouldn't consider any other options, but it does seem like, look, if there's a safety they just absolutely adore, and there are some guys, Buda Baker, Marcus May, Marcus Williams, some other guys there, if they're in love, like I said, they could take almost everything, and I wouldn't say that was a crazy pick. But if you like Swearinger and Cravens enough to at least think, okay, let's see if that can be our future, then I would think they may rather go and spend, one of their early picks on, again, defensive line, a left guard, pass rusher, arguably a running back. There are other areas I'd go before safety. But again, if they love somebody, I wouldn't tell them that would be a crazy idea.
You mentioned running back. Christian McCaffrey seems to be one of those names that's kind of surging up the charts and getting a lot more attention. Some people thought he was going to be a later first-round pick, and now I know the Eagles, a lot of the Philadelphia fans are rooting for McCaffrey, hoping that he's going to be available at 13. What are your thoughts on McCaffrey and maybe some of the skilled position people, especially with the Redskins losing some talent from last year and Josh Dotson, of course, selected last year but having injury issues? What are your thoughts on running backs or wide receivers available for the Redskins?
Well, you're right. McCaffrey is definitely seemingly moving way up. I think I do have him in my latest mock that went up yesterday on CSN Mid-Atlantic. I think I have him going to the Eagles, in fact. I think Philly, I would probably say they need a cornerback more than anything, but McCaffrey is definitely a pretty interesting playmaker, and I always think if you're going to have a Carson Wentz, you want to maximize his situation as best you can by giving him enough pieces, and having that kind of running back would be, I think, a big help, not just for the running game, but also for Wentz's development. So I think that's something that I would consider for the Eagles. From the Redskins' perspective, I don't know if I, though, like McCaffrey as much. Look, they certainly don't have the playmaker type running back that he projects to be.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that the pair they have of Robert Kelly and Robert Kelly and Chris Thompson is like some dynamic backfield. But, you know, I think Kelly was pretty solid last year as an undrafted rookie, and Chris Thompson was healthy. He gave the Redskins that dynamic flair out of the backfield as a pass catcher. I think they could use a little bit more, but I wouldn't necessarily spend a first-round pick on it. I personally don't like running backs in round one in general. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we see it every year. You can find running back help in later rounds. You know, there's always exceptions, and McCaffrey is a fine player. Again, if the Redskins were to make that move, I wouldn't think that was terrible, but you know, it would seem to sort of push Kelly and Thompson down a peg, and you know, they still have, I think they have other holes that I would view as bigger. But look, McCaffrey's an interesting player. Same with Dalvin Cook. Obviously, Leonard Fournette's probably going to go somewhere in the top five. Those are probably the three running backs to go in round one. You mentioned Josh Dotson. The Redskins, they did lose, obviously, DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon, mm-hmm. but they hope they have Dotson back healthy after an injury-plagued rookie year. They signed Terrell Pryor. So they think they're definitely more athletic. They're a bigger group at receiver. They're probably not going to be as productive because they just lost a lot, but I think they can be a pretty explosive group all the same. So I think that one's a pretty interesting unit to watch.
Our special guest this segment is Ben Standig, Redskins insider for Breaking Burgundy at BreakingBurgundy.com. You mentioned defensive line earlier, another glaring issue or area of need for the Redskins. There was a name I liked, Malik McDowell out of Michigan State. I think in your latest mock draft, you had him going as high as 12th. So I guess he's another player that's trending up. Do you think there's any chance he might fall and the Redskins might take a chance at him or another defensive lineman that might be available?
I think I actually had McDowell sliding down in my last one, but I can't keep track of all these things anyway.
Yeah, I understand.
But he's a very polarizing player. I mean, if you listen to the people who are very positive on him, he would make a lot of sense for the Redskins at 17. He's very athletic. When he's engaged, he's productive. But, you know, too many people have also said when you watch, you know, you watch him play, he's very erratic, he's not a consistent performer. And that's why, you know, ideally the Redskins want a nose tackle. There just doesn't seem to be those types in the first round, and that's fine. But they could use a defensive end for sure. He would be a good fit if they thought he was, consistent enough performer to justify taking that high. My spidey sense tells me he's dropping and maybe even ultimately falls out of round one. I'm just hearing way too many more people to guess he could slip out of the first round.
Wow.
But like I said, it's just, you know, there's just so not that many. There's just not enough defensive linemen this year, particularly in the early spots. So if you want one of them, he's probably going to be a guy you're going to have to take somewhere in that, you know, 15 to, you know, to 32 range. Mm-hmm. But there's so many other interesting players. It just depends on how much of a need you really think you have at defensive line that you have to take that risk.
Any other drafts? I know it's so hard to pick the first round, let alone to go second, third, and fourth, and so far with so many moving parts and variables, and you lay everything out, and then there's one trade, and then all of a sudden everything gets thrown out the window. But are there any players you like a little bit deeper in the draft, or any players that will fall past the first or second round that you really like and that the Redskins might target in the later rounds?
Well, I'm really curious to see where running back Joe Mixon goes, the mm-hmm. running back from Oklahoma, who obviously had off-the-field issues that have really sort of really kind of messed with his draft ranking. Just based on talent, he could be a top 20 pick, but based on, you know, the concerns there, he could slip out of the past first, maybe even past the second round. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't know if the Redskins would make that kind of move, but, you know, some team might say, hey, you know what, we think we can make this work. And, you know, he could be a pretty good value play, you know, again, not dismissing the off-the-field stuff, but just in terms of the football talent, he could be a pretty good value play for somebody. I think, I think I've done 10 mock drafts, and there are times where there's people who I have, like, falling out of my second round who I almost want to put in, like, early in round two. Mm-hmm. Because it's just so deep. I mean, I think a guy like Juju Schuster-Smith out of USC, he's a big receiver. Like, part of me thinks he could be a first-round pick, but then you just see the other names on the board, and it's hard to see how he gets up there. But he's, I think, somebody who could, in round two, have some pretty good value for somebody. And I guess this is a, sort of a deeper name. He's starting to get some attention, but Adam Shaheen, a tight end out of Ashland, which is like, what, D3, D2? I'd heard about him sort of early in the process, after the season, as somebody to watch, and his name has moved way up in the board. He's going to be one of those guys where you get the draft day and people are going to be like, wait, who? What? What school? I've never heard of this guy, but he's got size and speed, and I think he could be a pretty interesting fit, especially in this era of the NFL where tight ends are becoming more and more valuable.
Ben, before we let you go, in addition to doing a great job with the draft insights for Breaking Burgundy, you're also doing double duty and covering the Wizards in their series with the Hawks. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that series and a prediction. Do the Wizards dismiss the Hawks rather quickly, or does this go to Game 6 or even Game 7?
I said 5 games at the start, but I also said 5 tight games. It was sort of weird because both teams were coming in and had losing records the previous month before entering the playoffs, which is pretty rare, you know, for two playoff teams in the 4-5 range to not be playing well. I didn't think the Wizards were actually that great in game one, but Atlanta committed like 21 turnovers, and couldn't stop John Wall in the fast break. So I think the Wizards, I'll stay with the Wizards in 5. You know, look, obviously the game 2 is Wednesday night. They got to get that done, keep the home court advantage. If they do, and I think this thing, you know, I think they should be in good position. If they don't, then, you know, like I said, they've been inconsistent for the last month, particularly defensively. And if Atlanta could actually make some shots, the Wizards could be in trouble. But they're just not a good enough shooting team for me to worry about it too much.
All right, Ben, we appreciate your time. Thanks again. And best of luck with your coverage of the draft and the Wizards coming up here in the playoffs.
I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
All right, our pleasure. Ben Standig, Redding's insider from BreakingBurgundy.com, kind enough to join us. That'll do it for our special draft preview show. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll be back next week with another live edition of Sports Talk. Good night, everyone.